the wall, the 380, gone. A three-run homer for Tim Anderson. 3-1 White Sox.
Back to White Sox Weekly on 720 WGN.
White Sox Weekly, 720 WGN in the dugout with the pitching coach of your Chicago White Sox, Don Cooper. Coop, we got to start at the top with the news yesterday with Michael Kopech and your message to him, and just, you know, a lot of guys have been through this, so he's got to be the next one, I guess.
My message to him is, you know, I first asked him, how you doing? He said, as good as I can be. And I said, we're going to get you well. You know, and the good news is, just about everybody comes back from this just as strong. We've got a few guys in the clubhouse. You know, it's hard for me to remember. I can't remember anybody. Oh, Jake Peavy, but Jake Peavy, quote unquote, wasn't ours. He had a lat muscle problem. I can't remember this happening to anybody else. You know, because the White Sox, not only here in the big leagues, but throughout the organization, you can take the time and look this stuff up. If we're not the best at running guys out there every 5 days or 6 days, depending on the schedule, and keeping them healthy, we're right up the top. So this doesn't happen much. And again, it's disappointing news, but, you know, like anything else, you know, you take it and you live with it, and you got to move on. Michael will move on. He'll get his arm well. We'll see him in spring training. He'll begin his rehab. He'll be back in 2020, you know, and we have to move on to other guys because he's one of our most important guys, but we have many other guys that are important to us. Michael will be back. And now, you know, maybe he's going to be taught some patience because he's going to... He's got a road ahead of him. But again, many, many people we've had. Dylan Cease is one. Nate Jones is one. There's others and throughout baseball that this has happened to, and they bounce back well. And that's what we're expecting.
Giolito had it, right? And Giolito's looking pretty good lately. What are you doing differently with Lucas?
Well, you know, Lucas, long story short, and he's been going good for a while. He did not have a good game last game. He had a good first inning. His second inning wasn't good. We're getting him to stay behind the ball. You know, early in the season, at the end of a pitch, his back would be to the catcher, and nobody can do that. So we're trying to get that. We've gotten that straight. Actually, I'm pleased with what Lucas has done, his battle ability. He's shown battle. He's shown fight. He shows an above-average changeup, a solid fastball when it's thrown to the location we're throwing it to, two and four seam. His curveball making major strides, and his slider has improved also. You know, this year we knew this was going to be a long haul for us, the toughest spot in the rebuild. And the way I'm viewing it is we're trying to make deposits in the bank with him, Lopez, Bummer, Frere, you know, and there's many other names that I'm forgetting right now, but for the future. Our time is coming. It's not right now, but it's coming. I'm looking to make a little bit of a splash next year and be ready to go and see if we can take care of business. You never know with baseball either. You know, we make a splash, you can find yourself in there. And when I say in there, I mean playoffs. And in 2020, kind of looks like it will be all ready. So that's kind of what we're
when you say, just curious, when you say splash, do you mean an addition to the rotation, or are you talking about just these guys just going further?
I'm saying have a better season than we're having this year. And again, knowing that this was going to be the toughest spot. Make a move, a big step forward next year with the guys that we've had, the guys that we're putting the time in right now. And I just named the pitchers, but you can also add in Engel. You can add in Moncada. You can add in Timmy Anderson. And all of these guys. So we're looking to do that and get these guys. They're gaining from a lot of experience. So we'd like to think next year we can make a step forward with all of those guys. You know, as far as additions, well, that's not our end of it. You know, our end of it is to coach the people that are here. Rick, Kenny, and Jerry hold the plan. And, you know, we're always hoping that they're looking to improve us, and I'm sure they are. And then hopefully in the too-distant future, we're ready to compete for getting into playoffs and winning championships.
Carlos Rodon is a monster. I know last night was an un-Rodon-like performance. He was wild, but he has just been fantastic. That must be very gratifying to you to see him come back from injury and dominate.
The biggest thing for him was to come back from the injury. You know, he had shoulder surgery. He's come a long way this year. The changeup's improved. Slider's always been good. Fastball command has been better. You know, people are saying, listed the first time he's only got five innings. Well, early when he first came up, he was only able to go four or five innings for the first four or five starts. And then he reeled off a string of really good outings. And he looks like a guy, he's improved every year. But he's also had some roadblocks with injuries that we've had to make up time for and try to recapture that development sign, so to speak. But and he's still growing. But he's going to be a big part of this as well.
I want to rewind back to Kopech for just a second. Guy that throws that hard, more likely that this could happen. Did you see it coming at all, like this could be a problem?
No, and I didn't see it because Michael's got a good delivery. But nobody gets it right every time. Michael has a good, solid delivery. I didn't see this coming. We have seen things coming with other people, whether it be on our team or other teams before. We got Steve McCaddy here, Triple-A coach for the White Sox, but he also was the pitching coach for the Nationals. And I remember when we played the Nationals, and I saw Steven Strasburg. And he was having trouble after 75 innings. So that was a red flag to me. And I said, this guy reminds me of Pryor and Wood with what he's doing. And rather than get into depth of what he's doing, I thought he was an accident waiting to happen. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. But I thought from seeing him, I thought it could happen. And not only did it happened about 2 weeks after we saw him.
So Carson Fulmer has been, I know he's not in front of you, but he's been down in the minors and he's working out of the pen. Do you think maybe, because unfortunately, Kopech's going to be out of the rotation, you think maybe a spot is open now for Carson, or do you guys see Carson Fulmer as working out of the bullpen?
The jury's still out on Carson. Not everybody grabs the brass ring the first time around the merry-go-round, as a starter. It's not easy to be a starter. He hasn't grabbed it yet. That's not to say he can't. But Carson's a part of our future. We're just not sure if a starter or relief. And I will say this, depending on what, if anything, we acquire in the offseason, let's say we acquire nothing. Well, yeah, he certainly have to be in the picture of possibly being a starter for us, as well as Dylan Covey. And those are the two names that come to mind right away. Dylan Covey's a major leaguer, but he's been given some starts and some relief outings. He's pitched very, very well against Milwaukee, Cleveland, and Boston. And they were all first-place clubs at the time, and he pitched very well against them. And then he had some games that didn't work out, and he's been pitching out of bullpen. But in all the games he started, if you look at it, the first time through the order, he's been very good. So certainly, if he's not a starter, he can be a reliever for us. He's a major league guy, got major league stuff, and we're afforded the luxury this year of trying to give him that opportunity to see if he can grab that.
More with Coop in a moment here, but first, Harry, you've got a message for everybody.
I do, and I want you to know that you should join the White Sox Volunteer Corps and Huntington Bank as they team up on September 11th for some hands-on improvement work at the Primo Center Shelter for Women and Children in Englewood. For more information and sign up to volunteer, visit whitesox.com/volunteercorps. This message is sponsored by Permacy.
That's awesome. And hey, Sox fans, back by popular demand, the White Sox are offering a limited edition Cancer Ribbon White Sox cap. It's only $25, and $10 from every cap sold will support White Sox charities at Rush University Medical Center in Cancer Research. The caps are now available online and at the ballpark. You can visit whitesox.com/rushcap to purchase yours today. We continue with Don Cooper next, and Coop's actually going to tell us a little bit of his musical history of the young life.
Yeah, he is.
Of a Don Cooper with his brother. It's some fun stuff. That's straight ahead on White Sox Weekly, 720 WGN. White Sox Weekly, 720 WGN, back live at Guaranteed Reed Field as we continue with Don Cooper. Harry, you doing all right up there?
Yes, I'm very excited because we see, Coop's been around forever, and you don't really hear him having fun. We got to have some fun with him in this little park coming up.
We did, and we start, though, with a little bit more serious as we ask him about the progression of Ronaldo Lopez this season, who's been up and down and is obviously a huge part of the White Sox future.
Hey, listen, he, Giolito, Kopech, Rodon, Cease, they're major pieces in our build. And Ronaldo Lopez has got very, very good stuff. Let me tell you something. Everybody was oohing on at Kopech's fastball. Lopez's fastball is just right there with him. So we don't feel hear the oohs and ahs with that one. But Lopez has had a good solid year, you know, and with each guy, I know and see where the improvement has to be. And then next year we're going to head out to see if we can make that improvement. And really it comes down to more strikes, more quality strikes early in the count to get ahead. And if you do that, that means we're going to be eliminating walks. You can't have a starting pitcher has got to be, for me, at least 3-1 innings to walks. And really I prefer four and heading to four and five because that means it comes down to can you hit their stuff. And I will bet on the stuff that they possess over any hitter in there. And if they get ahead 0-2, 1-2, well, I'll double down the bet because they're ahead in the count. But that's been their Achilles heel this year, I think, both of those guys, as well as Rodon. But Rodon is going to be able to get to 3-1. And the other guys, that's the challenge ahead of them.
Mike Maddox has been known, it's a little weird, when he comes out to the mound, the pitching coach Mike Maddox will put his hand on his pitcher, and he said the reason he finally admitted it, he said the reason he did it this year is because he always wants to see how the guy is feeling, if the moment is too big for him. Do you do anything like that when you come out to discuss what you're going to throw, but you're also at the same time making sure that your guy's not losing his composure?
I might touch, but I'm not touching on purpose, noticeably. I'm not the touchy-feely type, you know what I mean?
You had a lot of complaints about that.
I want to settle whatever situation. If I'm going out there, I'm going out there for a reason. I want to settle it down. I want to get focused back to where it needs to be, which is right now, this pitch, this hitter, and try to get everybody refocused. I can see in their eyes, and I can hear it in their voice, if there's something more than normal, more than net going on, you know. I've come back before in years ago saying, we need to get somebody ready right here, you know, because you can see it. But you also see from the sideline how a guy's doing. We don't go by necessarily pitch counts or things like that. We take it all into consideration. But our eyes and our gut come along with it. And we see how the hitters are doing. If the hitters ain't doing nothing, well, we're pretty sure we're going to leave this guy in. See, I'm looking for reasons to keep starters in, not reasons to take them out. And nowadays, you see a lot of teams starting the game with a reliever or taking guys out after five. You know, I happen to see a world championship where our starting pitchers took the bulk of the work, and that's kind of where I want it to be. Our starting pitchers, they're part of their job description is taking 6, 7, 8, sometimes 9 innings, give our team a chance to win the game by throwing a good, solid, quality effort. Because really, they don't have much of a say on wins and losses. Because you can be pitching your tail off that game, and if we don't happen to catch it or hit it that day, it's going to be hard to win. But what you can do on a consistent basis is give your team a chance to win. And that's kind of the biggest goal they have.
Coop, I got two more for you. What one, just your general philosophy, where trying to be, you know, friendly with them versus being their coach. You know, how do you strategize, like, having a guy like, you know, you have him feel like, yeah, Coop's got my back versus, you know, saying the tough things?
Well, if they should know that I got their back. It's okay for me to say stuff about them, but I don't like it when anybody else does. And if it gets to the point where I don't like it, we might be wrestling somebody. Because they don't know. The people that are watching this and reporting this don't know. They never played. You know what I mean? So I know the work that they put in. I know the desire. I know what they want to achieve. I know all of that. So nobody but me can say stuff about them. And I don't like it when anybody else does. But they should know I got their back, but I'm not into this to make friends. I got a good amount of friends. You know, I'm all right with that. I want them to have the best careers that they're dreaming of. My goal for all the pitchers is to try our best, myself and Kurt Hassler, who's my assistant pitching coach in the bullpen. We're talking about these guys endlessly. Nobody cares about their careers more than us two, other than their mother and father and maybe their wife. If they're married. You know, we want it to be what they wanted it to be. You know, they reached a dream about to get here. We want that. We don't want them to be sent out because that dream turns into a nightmare. We want them to have the career. We want to put them on the track of being the best they can be. We want to take the God-given ability that they've been given And they've got, everybody's been given gifts. They've been given gifts. We want to take those gifts as far as we can take them.
That's awesome.
That's great. All right. Since we've been visiting with you here in the dugout, we've Pink Floyd's playing now. We heard CCR. We heard Carm's favorite, the Bee Gees. I know you are.
Bee Gees are one of my favorite. Matter of fact, just yesterday on the phone, I was looking at different medleys. My son grew up to the Bee Gees. I wasn't listening to the music because I was focused on your questions, but I like all of it.
So who else are you looking? When you're in your car, game's over, you want to get away from baseball, what music are you looking for?
God, it could be a lot of different things. You know, it could be some country. It could be Hank Williams Jr. It could be that. It could be Billy Joel. It could be Metallica. It could be Pearl Jam. I mean, I'm serious. I'll go to Pearl Jam a lot. I'll go to the garage station, which is the guy from The Sopranos and...
Steve Van Zandt.
Yeah.
From there, the guy Bruce somebody.
I'll go there. I'll go to the Pop Rocks. I'll go to the Beatles channel. I mean, I like a lot of it. You know, I don't have one preference. It's kind of like what my ears like to hear, you know, and I never have a problem finding something. Now there's a radio. I grew up in New York City, and there was like four different rock stations. And my brother and I used to play what we call the song game. We change from channel to channel. If you can name the name of the song, you got a point. If you name the group on top of it, you get another point. So I like a lot of different music. And now I live in Nashville. So I like a lot of different type of music.
That's so awesome. I love that part of that. I just learned a lot about you, Coop, there. Okay. Just one little sensitive, nice moment, I thought. The Hawk Day ceremony last Sunday, he made a point of singling you out. And there, I just thought that was a great little testament for, you know, the time you've been here and what you mean to the organization.
I wasn't expecting it at all. He was nice enough to point me out there, but this guy's been great to all the White Sox people over the years. You know, he's always been in my corner. I have a nice relationship with Hawk. I can't tell you how many conversations we've had on a plane or bus or the lobby of a hotel in some situations. He's a true White Sox guy. I love him. I was touched that he was even going to said something like that, and it's appreciated. But he's an icon, man. He's huge, and not having him around, there's a little void because my seat on the plane, I could turn to my left one row back, and that's where he sat all the years. And his stories, his fire, his energy. Sometimes his temper, his passion. Those are the things I really like about him.
Coop, it's a pleasure, and I hope that you're pitching coach here until the year 2050.
You know what? I want to finish this out. I want to get back and get through. I'm going to have shirts made. We will survive this rebuild, you know, and we will. You know, there's some trying times along with it.
Gainer, we will survive.
All right, my first wife was a big song, that one.
When you got rid of the first wife, did you go to the right arm to single for the new one?
No, I walked around aimlessly for a while. And then something else pops up, you know.
Coop, great to be with you. Appreciate the time all season long. And have a great off season. We look forward to getting it back rolling again.
Okay, guys, I enjoyed it.
White Sox Weekly, 720 WGN. My name is Mark Carmen. He's Harry Tynowitz. Annie Mazur has your pregame for the Sox and Angels about an hour from now.
Carm.
Yeah, Harry.
I want all White Sox fans to know that if you want to be the first to know the details for Sox Fest 2019, sign up for the Sox Fest priority list for must-have details on tickets, giveaways, player appearances, and more. Sign up today at whitesox.com/SoxFest.
So that's awesome, but I think what's slightly even more awesome is the burger of the series that we were just delivered here, Harry, which you can get at the Craft Cave. It's the In and Away burger, which is similar to an In-N-Out burger. I don't know if you ever had the In-N-Out burger.
I think most people get that.
Right.
It's delicious. It's big.
Double patty, tomato, an iceberg lettuce, an American cheese, a diced fried onion, a Thousand Island dressing. So it's like a combo Big Mac, but yet with a delicious
flavor that you're just not going to get with your Big Mac. Let's be honest. That was...
It's got the patty melt feel to it because of the onions.
Yeah. I mean, I'm never a big fan of listening to people eat on the radio or talk about eating on the radio, but that burger was just absolutely delicious. You should come out to Guaranteed Refill just for the burger.
Well, you know, come for the burger, stay for the game.
Burger for the game and the brews, and there's a pub crawl going on right now, which you're late for, but it's quite a scene out here.
And James Shields is throwing tonight. Now, he's 6-15. It's easy to, poo-poo James Shields, but he is 17 and two-thirds innings away from 200 innings pitched. When he gets there, it'll be the 10th time in his career. This is his 30th start this season. It's the 11th time in his career that he has given his team 30 starts. 30 starts, 200 innings, and let's not forget Carlos Rodon gives him props for, like, turning his career around.
Yep, and everybody knows that James has pitched a whole lot better than his record this season, and he's been solid. I don't know, 9 times out of 10 that he's been out there. Also, a reminder, as we're talking food, there is still a few select upcoming games. Take advantage of the bleachers and brews.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get 1 bleacher seat, 2 beers for just $22. You got to be 21, of course, or over with a valid ID. Bleachers and brews, presented by Budweiser. To purchase tickets, visit whitesox.com/brews. Here we're going to talk to Tim Anderson coming up here in a matter of moments. You excited to talk to Timmy?
I'm very excited to talk to T.A. He's playing some great D lately.
So we're going to do that next, straight ahead. Little conversation with the shortstop on 720 WGN.